You know that feeling, right? You walk into a room or maybe even just jump on a video call and someone's there. And instantly there's this shift. People pay attention, conversations just like ignite around them. It's like they have this secret sauce, this natural charisma that just pulls you in.
Oh, absolutely. It's a really strong perception, that idea of personal magnetism being, fixed. Like you've either got it or you haven't. But what's really interesting, and this is where our deep dive gets fascinating today, is that the source we're looking at really pushes back on that idea.
Exactly. That's our mission today, to really dig into this, drawing on insights from 5 ways to increase your personal magnetism via the Bearded Colonel. And this piece, it doesn't just list qualities, it kind of dismantles that whole born this way thing. It frames personal magnetism as something you can actually build deliberately. So for you listening, it's not about wishing you were different, it's about understanding how you can cultivate this stuff.
Yeah, it's incredibly empowering, actually, realizing these things, often seen as, I don't know, luck of the draw, that they're actually behaviors you can learn. The article lays out a surprisingly clear path, showing it's less about innate talent, more about, well, practice, intention. So let's maybe start breaking down these 5 ways.
Okay, let's do it. First up, let's think about how you physically and mentally show up. Our first couple of insights really tackle creating that immediate, compelling presence. So, number one, be active. Think about those magnetic figures, James Bond, maybe Tony Stark, Steve McQueen even. What's the common thread?
Action.
Right. A kind of dynamism, always ready. The source puts it perfectly. They wear out their shoes, not their trousers.
And it's not just about like pacing nervously or anything. It signals something deeper. Agency, maybe? Engagement. Magnetic people aren't usually the passive ones just sitting back. They might stand when others sit, move with a bit of purpose. Psychologically, even subtle activity like that suggests competence, vitality, kind of implies you're doing interesting things, you have things going on, which is naturally attractive.
And it's more than just moving around, isn't it? Yeah. The article talks about animation and how you engage, like how someone uses their hands, their expressions, the energy in their voice even, to bring an idea to life.
Oh, definitely.
It makes you seem more confident, more passionate somehow, much harder to ignore. Without that, even a great point can just fall flat.
Exactly right. That nonverbal stuff is huge. I mean, the source even brings up a, let's say, historically very charged example. It notes Hitler's extreme animation in his speeches. Now, we have to be crystal clear here. This is only an observation on the delivery technique and how sheer animation can grab attention. It's absolutely not an endorsement of the person or the ideology. It's just how powerful that animated delivery can be in itself.
Right. Purely as a technique of engagement.
Purely. And this animation applies to your voice, too. Magnetic people, they don't just drone on. They use emphasis, pauses. It's almost like conducting the words. Churchill was apparently a master at avoiding that monotone drone.
Yeah.
He'd place stress carefully. The article gives this little exercise. Try saying, "I'm glad to meet you, Mr. Jordan." Okay, normal enough. Now try again, but pause slightly. Emphasize, "I'm glad to meet you, Mr. Jordan." See the difference?
Yeah, it totally changes the impact. It guides your ear. It makes the words land. Brings them to life, really. It makes you want to listen. So if you think about how animated you are day to day, how could using these techniques shift your interactions? What's it feel like when someone really brings that active presence to a conversation with you?
It creates this almost tangible energy, hard to ignore.
Yeah, exactly. And that flows so well into the second point, be brief. This one immediately makes me think of, reading a book or watching a movie you just love.
Yeah.
And you get near the end, you're like, oh, no, don't stop. You savor it. You want more. The article suggests that's the feeling we should aim for when we leave an interaction.
Ugh, the art of the exit. It's so key, isn't it?
Yeah.
The core idea is just conciseness. Make your point, have your impact, then wrap it up. The source quotes George Orwell, "Never use a long word where a short one will do." Applies just as much to talking, but it's deeper than just using fewer words, I think. Psychologically, it plays on things like scarcity, anticipation. We tend to value things more when they're not, overly available.
Right. So it's not just being concise, but knowing when to actually stop talking. The article says, never overstay your welcome. Even if people are loving your stories, your jokes, don't push for one more laugh. Stop when the energy's still high, when they're leaning in. If they feel totally satisfied when you finish, you probably went a bit too long.
You've lost that magnetic pull, yeah. Uh-huh. You went from anticipation to just full. And that creates this powerful recency effect, right?
Mm-hmm.
The last impression sticks. End on a high, leave them wanting more, and that positive feeling lingers, which, raises a good question. How often do we keep talking just to fill silence, or maybe out of politeness, even after we've made our main point?
Not all the time.
Yeah. The article even gave a pretty bold example, suggesting maybe ending a date a little early, perhaps right after a really good moment, like a kiss. The idea is to build that anticipation, leave the other person sort of impatient for the next one. It's using scarcity strategically in connection.
That's fascinating, and it feels kind of counterintuitive for a lot of people, I bet. But it makes total sense when you frame it as creating that craving. Think about it yourself. Are you more drawn back to someone who left you a bit curious, wanting more? Or someone who felt like they laid out their entire life story, soup to nuts, in one go?
The mystery is often more compelling.
Definitely. That well-timed exit seems key to building intrigue.
It's about crafting a memorable experience that resonates, but crucially, leaves space for their imagination, their desire. A bit of dance, really, giving enough, but not too much.
Okay, shifting gears a bit, let's talk about the actual energy and the connection you bring. Point number three is, be cheerful. Seems simple, maybe, but the impact is huge. Nobody gets excited about hanging out with a total Debbie Downer, right? We naturally lean towards positive energy.
It does sound simple, but it's backed by real psychology, this idea of emotional contagion. Our moods, they're surprisingly infectious. So magnetic people tend to actively choose to spread positivity. They encourage others, look for the good, talk about glad tidings, as the source puts it, instead of just problems. They project this kind of success and optimism even when things are tough. It's about consciously shaping the emotional climate.
The article uses that great historical example, Ernest Shackleton, leading his crew through those insane Antarctic conditions. He had to maintain that cheerful, optimistic front. His positivity was literally a survival tool for them.
Absolutely. And it's not always about big, grand gestures of optimism either. It's often just the simple but really profound power of a genuine smile. Especially when things are difficult, a smile signals resilience, approachability. The goal, like the article says, is basically to leave people feeling a bit happier, a bit more optimistic than when you first encountered them. That subtle emotional uplift, that's a powerful magnet for future interactions.
It really makes you think, doesn't it? How much your own demeanor, your baseline attitude affects the whole room and whether people want to be around you.
It's a conscious choice, ultimately.
Yeah. And speaking of direct impact, that leads us to number four, be direct. And the first thing that comes to mind here is that really simple but powerful thing, eye contact.
Well, it's fundamental, truly. The source explains how looking intently at someone creates this connection. It even uses the word sparks. It shows confidence, signals genuine interest, and builds this kind of intimacy that really helps forge bonds. Neurologically, direct eye contact actually lights up parts of the brain tied to social connection and trust. You just can't really be magnetic if you're always looking at the floor or out the window or into your coffee cup.
Right.
Direct eye contact is just foundational for presence, though obviously it's a balance engaging, not, you know, creepy staring.
Yeah, definitely a balance. I thought the article's point about salespeople was spot on. A really good sized person whose job depends on being magnetic, they almost never stare at the product they're selling. They look at you because the connection is with the person, not the thing, which makes you ask yourself, where do you usually look when you're talking to someone, especially if you're explaining something important?
Good question. That direct look says, I'm listening. I'm focused on you. It makes the other person feel seen, feel heard. It's subtle, but so effective for building rapport quickly. And think about the flip side. How does it feel when someone does genuinely hold your gaze during a conversation? It shifts the whole dynamic, doesn't it?
It really does. Feels like you're actually connecting, being acknowledged. Okay, and that brings us to our last point, maybe the trickiest one. Be fearless. This one, for me, really gets at that difference between just being, like, nice and being genuinely memorable, respected even. You ever have that thought after meeting someone, yeah, they were nice enough, but kind of boring?
Oh, the nice but dull trap. Yes, the article hits that hard. It gives the example of Mr. Nice, who doesn't get a second date. And this other story about a high school friend, Brian. Likeable guy, sure, but boring because he's a total yes man. Always agree with everyone, no matter what. Movies, politics, gossip, always agreeable. And while that avoids conflict, it also kind of erases him, made him forgettable.
That really hits home. Being a yes man feels safe, maybe, but it strips away what makes you you, your perspective, your personality, really. The source makes the point that real natural leaders, they stand up for what they believe in, And when they do it respectfully, without attacking the other side, that conviction earns respect. It wins followers, sometimes even from people who don't agree with them initially. It's about having that core integrity.
Precisely. And that's where confidence comes in, along with a steady tone. Whether you're arguing for a budget in a meeting or just giving your opinion on a movie. But, and this is crucial, the article is really clear. Fearless doesn't mean being stubborn or argumentative just for the sake of it, or like it says, an uncompromising ass.
Right.
After you've stated your view clearly and confidently, it's vital to actually listen, be open-minded, consider what others are saying. That approach makes you seem fair, wise, confident enough in your own view that you don't need to shut others down.
And sometimes, the article adds, you gotta know when to just let it go. If a topic's super sensitive for someone or the argument just isn't worth it, maybe just let it slide.
Exactly. It's about choosing your moments. Social intelligence, really. Conviction balanced with wisdom and genuine respect. The article ends this section with that powerful Winston Churchill quote, "You have enemies. Good. That means you stood up for something sometime in your life." What's so interesting there is how authenticity, having that backbone, but also being open, that's what makes you not just liked, but actually respected, remembered.
Wow. Yeah, that's a really potent way to wrap up these five ideas. So we've dug into five pretty powerful ways to cultivate personal magnetism. Being active, being brief, being cheerful, being direct, and being fearless. And the big takeaway weaving through all of them, these aren't things you're just born with or without. These are choices, they're skills, practices you can actually work on.
Yeah, this whole deep dive really shows that magnetism isn't some kind of, I don't know, secret manipulation tactic or just surface-level charm. It's much more about intentional presence. It's about respect. It's about having conviction in how you interact with the world. It really comes down to how you choose to show up day in, day out.
So the challenge for you listening is maybe to pick just one of these ideas. Maybe it's being a bit more animated when you talk this week, or mastering that art of leaving people wanting more, or maybe finding your voice a bit more, standing up for something you believe in fearlessly but fairly. Pick one. Try it out. Actively practice it. What would it look like for you to truly stand up for something in your own way this week? Hopefully this deep dive gave you some solid tools to start sparking that journey.